We're bringing the meeting to order at 7:02. The invocation will be done by Mike Spence and the flag salute by Jessica Shoemaker.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can gather as the West Covina Unified School District Board of Trustees, and we're grateful for this district and for the start of school, and grateful for our staffs and for the students and the parents that entrust us. And Father, we'd ask a blessing on this meeting, that it be a productive one that focuses on the educational needs of children. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Here.
Here.
Mr. Spence?
Here.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mr. Schumacher?
Here.
Mr.
K? Here.
And Mrs. Hastings?
Here. We just wanted to welcome Andrew Chin and to the board table. We're so excited to have our new board member, student board member, and that next week our next meeting, your name will show up on the agenda. Report in closed session. There's only one thing to report out. The following action was taken in closed session on September 8, 2009, with the supplicant action being reported in open session as required by law. It was moved by George Fuller and seconded by Jessica Shoemaker that the following student has completed his terms and conditions of expulsion and has been approved by the Board of Education for remission to the West Covina Unified School District. Student number 182904, and the vote was unanimous. This moves us to the board members' report. Mr. Cox, you had something you would like to share?
I did. Thank you very much. I just want to take this opportunity to thank everybody in the district office and board members for their well wishes while I was out for the last month, and it was kind of nice being away from it all, but I'm looking forward to get back into it. But I am doing well, and hopefully things will keep getting better and better every day. Thank you.
I had the opportunity to attend several open houses, and one of them San Jose Edison, and with some classrooms all well and done. I did hear a comment from one teacher, the superintendent knows. I just wanted to clarify, it was I promise not to believe half of the things your kids are saying about you at home if you promise not to believe half of what you hear at school. That's not acceptable, and I've said it before. It's not acceptable. If a child comes with something that's going on at home and suspected abuse takes place, we report it, and I would really hope that a parent would contact somebody they have confidence in if they think something inappropriate is going on in the classroom. And I'll just leave it at that.
Mr. Spence, do you have anything? Ms. Shoemaker? I, too, had the opportunity to go to the open many of the open houses. The teachers really put extra effort into their classrooms, and you could see what pride went into the classrooms. The parents were excited to go in and see the programs, and I was blessed to have the opportunity to see how happy the students, parents, and teachers were at the beginning of school. So I just want to say a special thank you to all the teachers who put in all those hours. And I know some people even came in, a substitute came in and worked diligently on his room, a long-term sub. That's really going beyond and showing that people even visiting our district really want to make a difference for students. That we're moving on to the items from the floor. I have no blue cards in front of me at this time. Was there anybody who wished to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the organizational part of our meeting. Is there anything anyone would like to take off of consent?
How are we dealing with the addendum?
Where?
No, there's the different backup. How are we dealing with that?
The We usually, we're going to have the replacement addendum is going to take the place of the personnel report. So that's, when we look at that, that's how, it'll be the new data that we have here.
Because it's on consent, that's what.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. But that will be the new information that's sitting on our board table. Anything, no changes? Is there anything anybody would like to add? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented? A second?
A second.
It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Steve Cox to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of September 8th, 2009. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. That moves us to item number 3, the resolution in support of changing the law regarding Senate Bill 1614. I've had a request to have this tabled.
I'm sorry. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Well, one, I didn't hear the request, but two, you know, normally, since I used to have this item agendized, I would have a chance to present before we had a chance to table it. But I didn't hear a motion.
Well,
to table
okay.
It.
Do you? Why don't? If we're going to have discussion, is there? Who would you like to move it at this time so we can discuss it?
If you'd like that,
yes.
Mr. Spence has moved. Is there a second?
What are we just to discuss it? I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved by Steve Cox and seconded by it was moved by Mike Spence and seconded by Steve Cox to review the resolution as presented for review and board direction. Discussion, Mr. Spence.
Well, I asked to have this agendized, and at our last meeting, Mr. Cox wasn't here, but our last meeting pointed out that the state of California, according to the guidelines issued by the Federal Department of Education, are ineligible to apply for various funds because of a state law that was passed in 2006, SB 1614. And at that time, Mr. Fuller asked that I bring a copy of the law, which I provided to everybody. Mm-hmm. I think was provided to everyone in the packet. Is that right?
Yes.
And if you look at page 4, it does outline specifically what the education secretary talks about, that the state is forbidden from using any of the data collected in the state data system to evaluate principals or teachers. And what this resolution simply asks, points that out, is asked that we express support for changing the law so that student achievement data could be used for evaluating teachers and principals. And, of course, that would then make California eligible for the over $4.3 billion that we're currently ineligible for.
Further discussion?
Well,
Mr. Fuller.
First, I just have to be frank. Mr. Hagman, Kurt Hagman, has moved to assembly floor leader in the California legislature, and he's obviously going to be shepherding through Governor Schwarzenegger's agenda on teachers in regards to pay and things of this nature. And Mr. Spence is employed by Mr. Hagman. So there's a direct economic correlation between Mr. Hagman's boss or Mr. Spence's employer and this bill. And I think also tied to Governor Schwarzenegger, as it says, carrying his agenda forward into the legislative floor presents a conflict of interest for Mr. Spence in that he enhances his image within the state legislature in bringing this forward and moving it on.
Can Not I only raise a point of personal privilege?
Yes.
Since my name was mentioned several times. One, I think everyone on this board knows that I have never voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger for governor in any election that he has run for governor. So it's kind of odd that someone would make that accusation. But as far as Mr. Hagman is concerned, actually, I do not know where he actually stands on this particular issue. I have not discussed it with him. And I can understand that there are people that would have an economic incentive to make sure that teachers were not evaluated based on student data. For example, if I was a teacher that was being bumped around from district to district and couldn't keep a position, then I could see why I'd be afraid to have student data
used in my evaluations. But having student data used in teacher evaluations has nothing to do with my position as a part-time legislative employee. And and if someone wants to use that as an excuse to vote against it, that's fine. But I would prefer that we actually focus in on the resolution itself, which is lifting the ban that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor that limits our ability, one, to use student data in teacher evaluations and principals, and two, limits our access to federal funds. This board has already decided to accept.
I think we've gone point, beyond a point of personal privilege and allow me to continue with my argument.
Well, excuse me. The chair hasn't said that. So.
Well, I'm just bringing it up.
I'm just saying that if you want to attack where I work, that's a different. I view that, and if someone can show me that, then I'd be willing to do that. But this has nothing to do with my employment as a part-time legislative employee.
Okay, so we've cleared up that he's employed by Mr. Hagman and the state legislature.
I'm actually employed by the State Assembly Rules Committee.
Okay, on the Assembly floor, which is this
part. I'm employed by the State Assembly Rules Committee, Mr. Fuller.
Okay.
If you want to be technical and play these kind of games, I'm employed by the State Assembly Rules Committee.
I get technical about conflicts of interest.
Well, you should, because you have had a conflict of interest that applies to teacher evaluations and teacher contracts. Where for a whole year, because you took an illegal gift, you were unable to vote on teacher contracts. So I understand why you want to get very technical about that.
Actually, there's been no year, and there's actually no conflict.
It was about 9 months, and you had to recuse
yourself.
Now,
if you continue on with the rest, in regards to the resolution, in addition, it just says state data cannot be used to evaluate teachers. Is there anyone in this room that has confidence in what's going on in the state? I see no hands. I have my lack of confidence in the ability to bring up what's going on in the state.
He asked. I just raised my hand.
Oh, well, Mr. Cox, one, has confidence. So to take what data the state is collecting, where people have kind of lost interest, to use for informational and developing curriculum, and all of a sudden to apply it to teachers takes it away from local control, takes it away from our ability to negotiate with our teachers, and says, what Mr. Sense is saying, it needs to go up into Sacramento and be used from that to make pay considerations.
Again, that is not what I want.
So that's what the bill says. That's what it says, state data. So in terms of that, and it's also premature, this is way premature. The governor is working on a resolution to this matter. The president's office, it says President Obama. I'm glad Mr. Spence has demonstrated confidence in that. But in terms of that, federal government, President Obama has backed off and realized what is said. There's no, there's mentions of coming to the state and getting the money that's involved. There's negotiations going on. This is way premature. There's new bills coming up. It's being massaged and put through the floor. I just think we're way ahead of it, and I'll move the table on the matter until that's resolved.
Yes, Mr. Cox.
Yeah, I think we already have a motion before the board that we're considering right now. This resolution is in support of Senate Bill 1614?
No. It points out that
a change of law.
Right. At the last board meeting that you were not at, Mr. Cox, may I answer?
Yes.
There was a question about whether there actually was a state law that actually forbade the state data from being used for teacher evaluation. And there was a question about that. So in the resolution, I decided to cite the actual law, and that's the law I actually included with the packets that shows that. And that's the law that was cited by the federal government in refusing to allow California and a couple other states to apply for these $4.3 billion worth of federal funds.
And is that part of that, racing to the top in the money?
Correct, the money.
And so we have a potential of not getting?
California can't.
Because? Because we don't evaluate?
Because we actually have a law. The way that Secretary Duncan worded it was that we had a law that expressly forbade it. They didn't mandate that we use it, but the fact that we had a law that expressly forbade the state data from being used, that the state would be ineligible, us in a couple other states.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. This resolution is very premature. This has happened with resolutions in the past that there has been a personal feeling about what should or shouldn't be done. It's come before the board before it's become, in this case, it's a little bit more of an issue than in the past, but as of right now, there is not a proposed change to the law. Some of the things I'm hearing that they're trying to make part of the revision, I don't know that I necessarily agree with. And until I have an understanding of what exactly they would like to change, what will be added to the bill, once again, this resolution is premature. I am fine with tabling it and bringing it back once we know what exactly they plan to do with this Senate bill. Otherwise, at this point, since I do not have enough information, I will be abstaining.
Mr. Spence, since you brought this forward, what is the deadline for the, I know there's going to be, there are several tiers, but when is the first time the money's available?
Well, that's actually, they were looking at October. However, as I pointed out in the resolution, Governor Schwarzenegger has called a special session of the legislature to address school reform, and that is probably going to start after this Friday. Friday is the deadline where they're finishing up the regular session, and the following week they're looking at dealing with the special sessions that have been called by the governor.
It needs to be resolved by the legislature by what date?
They didn't give an actual date, but that's why he called a special session in order to start addressing it now, because as you know, sometimes it takes a while to get things passed.
And we don't have a copy of any of the draft legislation that they're proposing. We know what verbiage they want. They say that the federal government said needs to be out, but we don't know what needs to be in place of that.
Actually we do. On this one item, we actually do, because the problem is that SB 1614 expressly said that data can't be used for student achievement, can't be used to evaluate teachers. And so what the Secretary Duncan said was that that language by itself disqualified California from the $4.3 billion because he doesn't want to give that money. They don't want to give that money to states that expressly forbid it. They want that to be an option. And, of course, some of them think even stronger, but states that have that express prohibition, it doesn't mandate we do it,
right,
but that express prohibition is what is holding up the application for money. And so that's why, if you read the therefore resolve clause, I didn't mandate that we use student data for teacher evaluation. But I do mention that we should lift it so that we are eligible for the $4.3 billion as a state that we're eligible or could be eligible for under the Race for the Top plan. I was very careful to make sure that we didn't mandate in this that we were going to use it. And I know there's people that do think we should use it and there's people that think we shouldn't. But what this does is clear it up so that we can apply for the money for school reform.
The concerns I've heard from the community is not that it may teachers it may hurt teachers' relations. I think most people are for this, and they realize that the pay component of it and the sanctions would all be only a part of a component of how you evaluate teachers. But there's some misunderstanding on why we're doing it so early.
Well, because there's a special session maybe
right,
next week.
And with no language that we're actually looking at saying we support. Mm-hmm. We're just blanketly saying something perhaps prematurely without knowing where this is going to go. So we may be saying, yes, we want you to move forward with this, but they're going to come back with language that isn't agreeable to us. And that if we could wait for some draft language, and that's what, when will they come up with some draft language that we can vote on by the next meeting?
That's possible, maybe not. The whole issue could be done by then and we're not eligible. You know, I do know that this board in the past has approved resolutions, for example, and I think it was in October or November, talking about revenue increases at the state of California before we had actual budget plans, before we had budget language. We have done that as a board before, where 4 or 5 months before the budget was actually presented in the State Assembly, this board approved a thing that talked about increased revenues, that talked about all kinds of things that should be in the state budget. So we have done things like this before. We've seen a state budget. We've asked them to do certain things, and this is what it does. It just lifts the prohibition. It's actually much more moderate than some of the things that are being talked about in Sacramento. And I think it would have a positive impact, especially on our elected officials, as they go forward in the debate. But this board, a majority of it, did approve a resolution talking about revenue increases, you know, in 2008 before we even saw budget language in February of 2009. So, you know, I think it is consistent to try to influence the debate rather than wait until after all the votes have been taken.
Ms. Shoemaker.
I just wanted to clarify the vote on that resolution, and that is, by the time that resolution was passed, we had already been notified from the state of cuts that were coming. We already knew revenues coming into the state without an actual report were way down. The economy was and remains in as low as it's been in a long time. So in that case, there was a lot of supporting data other than saying, with this one, we don't want this part of Senate Bill 1614. You have left the window open with this that we say we don't want 1614 and we want whatever anybody decides to throw into that bill.
Actually, that's not what the resolve clause says.
Excuse me, I have the floor.
Yeah, that's not what it says.
And I am staying with where I am. I understand that the state has been told there's federal money that we cannot get because of some language we have. I believe it remains to be seen what can be negotiated with that. I believe that, well, I know we don't know what the state's going to do about it, and I've seen what our legislature can do. Look at our budget and what the rest of the state gets to deal with thanks to how the state has managed everything. And the last thing I want to do at this point is give a blanket, yes, we support changing a law without the information on how they want to change it.
Mr. Ford.
And again, the literature that I've read is that the federal government has begun to look at California again. We do have the option of negotiating. There are people that see the opportunity to negotiate with the teachers at a local level to develop a local data system in terms of pay that they may be able to develop. But it does take art. It does take ability to deal with human relations. Is not something that's going to be shoved down somebody's throat. I don't believe we're going to lose the money on this. I believe we will come up with it. The law does allow us to develop our data systems, does allow us to negotiate at a local level with teachers in terms of bonuses. In fact, we're going to be talking about bonuses later on in this meeting itself. That's occurring within this district boundaries already as a result of negotiations. And I believe with a human eyesight and putting it on the table, it could be resolved if needs be. We don't need the state coming in at the local level and telling us we to take their data. That I'm still, we have one person raise their hand that they have a lot of confidence in what's going on in Sacramento.
Mr. Cox.
No, I was just.
Oh, you're raising your hand.
Yes, that I raised my hand.
The and since I thought the question was rhetorical, you won't know my answer when you talked about raising your hand. The is there a possibility, Mr. Spence, that we could that there will be draft language? Or some type of language that we could see before the next board meeting? If I heard some discussion, or at least one board member asked if it could, he'd like a table. Do you think that there would be additional information coming out?
It's possible, or the debate could be over. I mean, it's all. I mean, to guess what would happen in Sacramento in the next week, it's very difficult. You know, they had a 3 p.m. deadline that they're going to solve the water crisis. You know, in California. So, I mean, to say that, you know, that extraordinary session can end next week or it can end, you know, 3-4 months from now. So to say what would happen in the next week, I don't think makes sense. What I do think makes sense is it's very explicit what the problem is. This is a very moderate, very reasoned approach to this, saying we want to lift the one thing that's keeping us from applying, and, you know, that's all it is. And it doesn't get into sanction, it doesn't get into pay, it doesn't get into mandates, it just says let's lift the thing that keeps us from applying for money.
Well, your resolution does read on the whereas 3 that it prohibits the state from using data on student achievement to evaluate, pay,
right,
promote, and
correct,
sanction teachers.
Correct. But it does not get it. But this motion just says let's lift that ban on the state bill, the state thing, and that's what's keeping us from applying. It doesn't say we have to sanction teachers. It doesn't say we have to use the data to evaluate it. But the ban itself is what's keeping us from getting money.
Well,
and so that's the issue. That's the ban itself, saying that we'll never use it ever, possibly ever, is what's keeping us from getting the money or even having a chance to apply, excuse me, because it's not for sure we get the money. The state would have to apply. But that's the only thing it does. And so if you lift the ban, we're eligible. Whether we use it or not, we're eligible.
Well, I would like to have more information. Mr. Fuller asked for it to be tabled.
And you seconded it?
There's a motion.
I did.
Yes. Okay. The resolution, and since I'm not a parliamentarian, who's our parliamentarian? When we're going to table something, if we vote this down, can we still table it? If it was voted down?
Well, don't take a vote.
You can table it now.
No, you vote to table it, then you don't vote on the actual item.
Right, because if we voted it, we'd be voting it
exactly
down, but we're voting to table
exactly
it.
Exactly.
Right. And are you voting to table it to a time certain, or are you voting to essentially kill it? That's my question about the motion that was offered.
I'm just voting to table it until we have more information.
Well, I would definitely...
So all I have to do is provide more information, and then it's back on the agenda?
No. More information.
What I would like to see is the proposed legislation.
I'm asking what the motion is.
Okay, I would like to table it until the next board meeting.
I'm a little confused. Mr. Fuller made a motion.
I made the motion to table it till further information.
Okay.
Well, that's why I'm quite confused.
Ms. Shoemaker seconded that.
Right, and this is where I'm confused. Is Mr. Fuller's motion...
Well, I didn't realize he had made a motion. I thought he had made a suggestion, and now he's making a motion.
Yeah, I did.
So may I hear your motion, Mr. Fuller?
Until further information is provided by the state legislature, if you want to get specific.
By the state legislature?
Yeah.
So who in the state legislature provides it?
Well... I think the state legislature can speak for itself. We'll get something.
Really? Who's the spokesman?
The Office of Legislative
Information.
Hagman's
the floor leader, right?
Oh, well, that's fine. I mean,
yeah, that's the question.
That's what I want to know. I mean, who's the legislative council? Are you talking about the legislative council? Are you talking about another bill? What does that mean?
I guess we'll find out when it gets here.
I heard Office
of
Legislation.
The motion's there. You can vote it down if you like.
I heard Office of Legislation. It's been...
That there's actual legislation, is that what you want?
Yeah.
You want the actual legislation? Are you talking about the Legislative Council?
From Governor Schwarzenegger's office, let's put it that way, if you really want to get specific.
And I don't know if we should... Well, it's
well,
your...
Information
it's his...
That's why I'm confused.
Right, I'm going to let him word it.
Until further information is obtained from the state.
Until further information is obtained from the state. It has been moved by Mr. Fuller to table this until further information is obtained from the state. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
It passes 3-2 with Mike Spence and Steve Cox being the no votes to table this until further information is available. That brings us to item number 7, resolution of authorization for services outside of credential area. Ms. Castillo?
Okay, I'd like to call in Mr. Seaman.
Good
This is a resolution for some of our teachers to be able to teach in our classes. Their credential does not allow them without this special permission from the board. They're in classrooms that they voluntarily want to be in, as you can see from the list on page 7B. The school they're at, the credential they hold in the class they are teaching, they do meet the requirements for this special board authorization.
Questions? Mr. Fuller.
Let me understand. We have one teacher at the middle school level with a single subject secondary in computers is asking to teach math.
Correct.
Correct.
Any others other than San Jose Edison asking for a credential waiver?
No.
No.
So we have, what, 438 teachers?
Roughly, yes.
So one 438 is asking for a credential waiver. Because
yes.
We went out and recruited and got...
credential teachers. Made,
went through a lot of things, their personnel issues, to make sure that we had credential teachers where they were, where they needed to be. The multiple subjects, let me understand, subject credentials at San Jose Edison are to teach in the secondary level. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm getting waivers?
These individuals, yes.
So they're asked, how many secondary teachers are there at San Jose Edison?
About 12, maybe.
So nearly 45% of the teachers at Edison are asking for a waiver to teach in their classification.
5 of 12, yes.
Why? With the number of teachers available, can't we fill these with teachers that have single subject secondaries?
We had a number of credentialed teachers that applied to the district, as I'm sure that applied San Jose Edison, but these are the people that were selected by Dr. Patton to fill these spots.
Despite with Nickleby and...
These were the ones she deemed appropriate for her school.
It's just too many for me. Just too many for me.
Denise, you want to come up here?
I mean, I'll be more than happy, sure. I agree, Mr. Fuller. On paper, it looks like it's extensive, but it's something I would like the board to realize that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, almost all of them have been with us for 5 years or more. Many, more than half were at the elementary level. For example, Carrie Cooper is now in her second year, a phenomenal math teacher, if you saw her teach algebra, and how well all of these kids have done, all these teachers have done. She has already passed 2 of her 3. All of them are aggressively working on their clearing their credential. They are fully credentialed teachers. They're very well trained, and they have really shown the direct results of students on their testing. They just have a few more tests, and you know that math test is extremely difficult to complete. But they're doing very well, and we're hoping literally within the year, every single one of these are going to be totally cleared. Nickleby, it has just been a process.
Nickleby single subject secondary?
Mm-hmm. As well, they'll have the dual credentialing. They've actually have felt so strongly about teaching middle school when they moved up and we expanded. And as we've gone up, they've helped really shape our middle school concept. And they've felt so... close to that, those kids, that they've decided to go through everything it takes to go through to become single subject majors. And so they are all currently working on that now.
Where are they enrolled at school?
They're enrolled in various areas. We work very closely with them. Donna Hale, who is works on credentialing for our school, they're all currently enrolled, and they're all taking the CSET.
Well, being enrolled in the CSET are two different things.
Well, they're having to take some of the courses, as well as they have to pass the sections of that. And all of these, in fact, there was one that was on here, Mr. Wu, who was out of LA Unified, and he was multiple subject or single subject language arts. Loved teaching science, and actually passed all of the science thing, and he is now fully qualified, and we plan to have these as well.
Well, my concern is, as you know, you're talking to a person that wants to be special ed, so spent 3 years getting that credential and Master of Arts and everything else that was involved with that. So it's not easy being a teacher, even though one board member refers to it as the greatest part-time job that's ever existed. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. So that's who you're talking with.
And Mr. Fuller, Go ahead, please.
I'm bringing it up because there's a reason why there's a secondary credential and there's a reason why there's a elementary credential. And I've seen elementary, some of them try to go to secondary, even middle school, and it doesn't, it takes a different mindset. They aren't little children anymore when they're 13 years old and 6'2", but they need to be loved, so it takes a little. I guess we'll mark this down, and if I'm back here again, I'll be looking at it very closely, because I think, I don't know what it was last year, but it sure got my attention when nearly 50% of your teachers are not there, and we've worked very hard to make sure ours are there. Ours, they're all ours, but the ones that are not at your school are there. So,
do you have a timeline for each of these?
Yeah, we actually, there was a timeline within the year, and like I said, we're
aggressively. So within this year, they will have.
We are almost only Mr. Leahy, who had transferred in from Maryland, University of Maryland, but he has been with us for 3 years in language arts. And it's because he wanted to stay at the junior academy level and switch from language arts to social science, and he has all the units of social science, just needing to pass the test. And all of these, Mr. Fuller, none of these are brand new teachers. We have not hired a new teacher in the past 3 years that was not fully qualified single subject in their major or multiple subject. This sort of what happened to these teachers is when they rolled over and put the deadline on and said, okay, you must have it by this time, they started to aggressively seek these, but they're very difficult tests. And they are top-notch teachers, and I would welcome any of you to come. Please come by, and they would welcome you into their classrooms and would love to have you there so you could actually see their ability and how they work with these students. Because you're right, these are definitely a different breed of students. We talk about at junior high.
I would like to suggest that what we did with the district was put a timeline on anyone who didn't have it. The state does want us to be fully credentialed. So if we can get these people to commit that by the end of the year they're able to get that fully credentialed, then I think the board ought to authorize their waiver.
I'm a little confused. Can I ask a question?
Well, Mr. Cox was waiting. Is it just a clarifying question?
Well, it's a question about what Dr. Castillo or Mr. Castillo just said.
If it's just a clarifying question, because Mr. Cox will have the table next.
Well, I'm a little confused by your current comments because this came with a recommendation for your approval.
Like I said, I am not going to give the board any more approvals for San Jose Edison to have non-credential teachers.
No, but I mean,
it came exactly with what I said right now. The approval is coming with a timeline, and that's why I've stated that for the record.
That's coming with a timeline. No, that's good.
I guess in line with what I was going to ask. I just don't see that. Well, first of all, I've been on the board for 15, 16 years now, and I know in the past that we've done similar types of, credentialing waivers. I'm sure that the different laws and different things will come up in different timing, and that, this and that. But I was going to ask if this is such a concern, what was the rationale for the superintendent's recommendation?
Over the past couple of years, the state of California has become stricter about the waivers that we give. And so as a district, we've made a commitment to hire fully qualified students. Every report that we do that doesn't have a teacher with a fully qualified credential creates, an explanation. And so my recommendation is you let San Jose Edison know that you want these teachers by the end of the year to have fully credentialed and that this is 1 year of waiver. But it's not going to be year after year when there's a line of credentialed people to teach in these classrooms.
I think that's very fair.
Mr. Spence?
My problem here is that if these teachers have been the ones that have been at San Jose Edison, when we look at San Jose Edison's scores, there's really not, much to complain about compared to other schools in the district, unfortunately. And we've had a lot of growth that I know everyone talks about, our growth in API and our growth in people making standards, and a lot of that takes place at San Jose Edison.
When we have an opportunity, Mr. Spence, we will discuss the San Jose Edison and their performance, and we'll discuss the students that they have been accepting at San Jose Edison to discuss scores. I don't think that you should bring scores into it.
Well,
I think we're looking for the quality of teaching of these teachers. The state of California made a law regarding credentials.
I'm not going to vote on this.
So that's the bottom line. There's a law that's there that says you are to hire fully credentialed people, and it's not indefinite. You voted for Mr. Solis and other teachers to get their credentials or get out of what they're doing. This is being treated the same way as all of the rest.
This is really
You asked why she recommended it.
I did not ask why. I explained why. I'm making a comment that these are teachers that work at our highest performance school.
Okay.
I think that... I'm willing to give them a little bit of laxity, for this year. If they can all get in a year, that's great. But if one of them is off by a little bit, I'm not willing to pull the plug if they're doing a great job.
They can teach at the elementary level.
I'm not. Well, again,
deal with that.
We're having a board meeting, and I'm trying to interact with the board about this and make a comment for the board, and that is that I'm not willing to jerk them around necessarily just to do this. Joel is a great teacher, and if he doesn't have a credential in a year, I'm willing to see it back here if they let him teach math again.
And you have a credential to evaluate Joel's teaching?
What?
Do you have a credential to evaluate Joel's teaching?
Again, I'm speaking...
Okay.
Mr.
Spence,
why
don't you just move the agenda?
I don't understand this.
She's giving you information.
She's giving me information, and I'm making a comment that Joel... everything that I've seen in his classroom, all the parents tell me he's a wonderful teacher, and if unless the superintendent comes and tells me that he's unsatisfactory, I would vote to give him a math credential or vote to authorize him to teach that subject, and I would vote to do it again next year. That's what I'm saying. And I don't understand, why I can't say that. That's all I want to say, and I don't know, I'm not trying to get in an argument. I'm just saying that I want to view these teachers individually on their performance rather than just simply as a class. And that's what I'm saying to you, Madam President.
I felt that it was very important that we as a district, and Ms. Castillo just reiterated this, that we move having all of our teachers fully qualified. And that we have done a great job since Ms. Castillo has been here really to make that happen. And then to see this, it's a step backwards. I'm so glad that Dr. Patton clarified that these were elementary school elementary school teachers, and as she grew, they grew, and they needed additional teachers at the secondary level, and they did that, and they're actively working to be highly qualified as we've promoted in our district, saying that that's what we wanted to happen. So I appreciate Dr. Patton telling us how that's going to happen. It sounded like all of them were going to be fully qualified within the year, except I wasn't sure about Sheen Leahy.
Leahy.
Yes. Did you say he wouldn't be or he would be?
No, it'll be a tight timeline, but we're working on that.
But it looks like there's a really good chance. That is a moot point anyway, that they're all going to be there. Ms. Shoemaker.
I'm fine with the resolution because I understand that the teachers are working towards getting the credential in the area they need. One area I would like to point out that seems to be being overlooked and asking for a little leeway with Edison is they are well aware of our district policy and the state law regarding credentialing. Mm-hmm. And so I am not for any extra leeway. They've had the same amount of time every other school in our district has had to get their teachers credentialed where they need to be. So this isn't a matter of giving leeway or being more harsh on one school versus the other. Every other school in the district has teachers credentialed where they need to be. And because of Edison's success, I'm even willing to consider passing this resolution for a service outside the credential area. But it is not something that I will do in the future. It is something that everybody has had plenty of time to do. And any accusation to district staff regarding extra leeway and arguing about what the process has been is inappropriate and shouldn't have happened. With that, I will move this resolution to adopt service outside of holders' credential area with the understanding that by the end of this year, those who do not have the credential in the area that they are supposed to will have done so. And, you know, if for some reason it's understandable in Sean Leahy's circumstance, because he came from Maryland, that it is a tight schedule for him, I would be willing to consider looking at him.
Discussion.
Mr. Fuller.
Just saying, if I'm in a chair at this table at this time next year, and these names are here publicly, that if I see the names again, I'm not going to be inclined to vote for them. Yes, I understand it's expensive. Yes, I understand it's hard. I am well aware of it and gone through it. I'm also well aware that Dr. Patton understands the necessity for this. I'm also aware that Dr. Patton can supply the support for it, and I'm sure that anybody from Edison will be glad to assist them in getting them, and I'm sure that if it gets a little bit short, that they have taught elementary school also, so they're not out of a job. But I really believe that the secondary training is crucial for all secondary students. So.
It's been moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Steve Cox to adopt the attached resolution authorizing service outside of the holder's credentialed area and approve the list of teachers authorized for the 2009-2010 school year. I wasn't going to add the caveat. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. That moves us to the information report on the San Jose audit. Ms. Castillo.
Okay, I'd like to call on Mr. Frutos.
During the month of July, our auditor conducted the agreed-upon audit report for San Jose Edison as stipulated in our contract with them. And the goal of the audit, if I can repeat from the contract, is to look at revenues, payments, and also detail of some of their financial activity and other activities that deal with revenues or processes. This year, the auditor focused on a couple of areas that were of interest to the auditor, and one of them was the admission and enrollment process. The other one was financial reporting and revenues. And the audit process was completed by the end of the month. We went back and forth with the staff to answer some clarifying questions. A few more items were written by the auditor just to clarify the process. And we had a meeting with the Edison staff to discuss the audit and the findings. And the outcome of the meeting was that the procedures discussed had a couple of areas that needed clarification. One, in the area of enrollment and admissions, the contract calls for several steps on an annual basis. One is the development of an announcement that has to be in a local printed media, a lottery, and a notification to the people on the waiting list that there's going to be a process. This has to be done by mail, and then a period of time for response. The auditor found in doing the analysis with Edison that Edison had done a process that was different, and when they did a test, they tested a sample group of the students on the waiting list. There was a non-response of 7 of 10 students. So we clarified during the meeting what that was, and Edison staff, and they're present here, and I'm sure they'll be answering questions, discussed a different type of process that they did this year, whereby they sent information to the homes early in May. Then they conducted the announcement in the paper, so they followed some of the processes in the contract. Some they did different. The auditor gave an opinion. There was no judgment in the opinion. They just said that the process was different than in the contract. Then in the area of financial reports, the procedure calls for a quarterly report that will have revenues, expenditures, and those items. If you recall, when we did the contract with Edison, there are two streams of income. There's the local income that the district has access to, and then there's the payment from the district to Edison, and that is more of a private type of environment. But some monies come locally, and the board requested on the annual audit to get a report on that. We had very good discussion with the staff at Edison, and the business manager agreed with our financial staff to work on developing those reports so that they comply with some of the contract requirements. Some of the reporting also includes some suggestions in regards to how the financial reporting should be done with a little more detail than has been provided. And I think, once again, we had a very good discussion with Edison to begin to agree how to improve those reports. The meeting was productive. In attendance were the same Edison folks that are here. And on the district side was myself and our director of fiscal services. The findings on the report were published, and Edison has been asked to provide a response, as we do with all our audits, and that is the report that we have for you this year on the annual report. And with that, if Edison needs to discuss anything else.
Questions from the board?
I will be sharing with the board at our next meeting. There will be some other things that will be shared with the board. As a result of the process that was used, the students that were accepted to San Jose Edison this year. And we'll have a discussion about the consequence or the failure to follow the instructions that we gave to San Jose Edison. And so we will continue the discussion when we agendize the class size reduction item.
Mr. Fuller.
Let me go over bonuses.
Could we possibly get Edison's response and then ask her a question?
Through the findings?
Yeah.
Well, they were given to artists, well, to the superintendent. That's be her determination.
What would you like?
She wanted to, if Edison would like to take the opportunity to maybe respond to some of these before we get into our questions, because it may answer some of the questions.
Are you, Mr. Fuller, you
if
have the table.
Would, like
would you like to hear
let me,
I,
let me,
I like to address questions.
Let me introduce to you, just so you meet, Dr. Laverne White, who is new in working with us and has been, I think, a tremendous addition to the staff. I'd like to introduce her to you and have her say a few comments. I think that any rebuttals to any of it should come in writing to the board.
And I still have questions about
okay,
the audit.
Dr. White, would you like to come up and say a few words? Welcome, and thank you for being here tonight.
Just kind of an introduction myself, Laverne White, Regional General Manager for Edison Schools, Edison Learning. Been with the company for 12 years. Prior to that, school administrator for 15 years, and have worked with schools in Colorado, California, Arizona, and Nevada. So I do think we had a very productive meeting, and I thank Ruben for sharing with you the results of that meeting. And so we're here to answer any questions that you might have. But I'm here to work very collaboratively with the district in ensuring that we continue to have a high-performing school at San Jose Edison and work with the district on policies and procedures.
Very nice meeting you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Fuller had a question.
Well, I had a question. I had a question to Mrs. Lace Castillo of our audit that we requested and was given to the district, but it's in a public forum. On the bonuses, the way the auditor describes it, there's a lump sum that comes through the school. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then the principal decides how that's divided up?
That's my understanding, yes.
And in reading this, the principal has paid herself $32,000?
Yes.
I'm addressing Mrs. Lace Castillo.
Ms. Castillo, would you like the...
Dr. White, do you want to explain it? Come on over.
I thought she had to do it in writing.
Well, that's not one of the findings.
I'm in listening mode.
That's a clarifying question that he's asking. Go ahead. Come on over and answer how the bonus gets paid to teachers and to the principal.
The process that we use for awarding teachers and principals for exemplary work is through our bonus program. And so the bonuses are actually for teachers. They are budgeted within the site budget. The principal's bonus, there's an allocation there for bonuses. Now they're awarded based on a certain criteria. And the criteria is established for teachers by the administration, the local administration. And it is shared with teachers at the beginning of the year, so everyone is aware of, you know, what the criteria is for bonuses. It's student achievement driven. Edison has a very detailed STAR Award program for our administrators. And based on this STAR Award, which goes over what we call our 5 points of accountability, which is student achievement, design implementation, financial management, customer satisfaction, and operational excellence. And we have criteria for all five of those areas. And based on how an administrator in the Edison Learning System ends up rating based on their performance, then that's how bonuses are awarded.
And this year it went $32,000.
I'm sorry.
This year went 32,000 plus.
Based on the performance of the principal at Edison.
Well, who determines the 8,000 for the business services bonus?
The principal. That's a site decision.
So the principal pays 8,000. And what is the business services responsibility? Do they make sure the books?
Well, she has an established criteria for each of the areas in which they are measured by.
So.
And that's not just at San Jose Edison. That's part of our system.
But the principal pays the business services person who reports to you the profits.
It depends on how a performance scale that is established by the principal.
Okay.
Is this part of their compensation package?
Excuse
as
me?
Such, their contract.
Excuse me.
Mr. Fuller has it.
If Mr. Cox, you may. Yes.
After Mr. Fuller
is
completed.
CPA Cox. Are there any other bonuses to the principal?
What you have attached to your...
I mean, like gifts or...
What are you alleging?
I'm not alleging anything. I'm asking a question on the audit. Excuse me, Mr. Cox, you will have a chance.
Mr. Fuller has the floor.
Excuse me for asking questions.
Mr. Fuller,
of the material that's in front of me. I am sorry, gentlemen. I know the audit is unpleasant for your Edison school, but I plan to finish up asking the questions. Now, we know that Mr. Cox and Mr. Spence think Edison can walk on water, but the purpose of an audit is to find out.
Kimmy.
I have to object.
Excuse me. Mr. Fuller has the floor.
Point of personal privilege.
Did he say
there is nothing.
Okay, you need to use the restroom?
Point of personal
privilege.
No, it's a point of personal privilege, and I know you enjoy Mrs. throwing the word bully around, but it's a point of personal privilege.
Oh, Mr. Spence, you are far too sensitive.
What our opinions are is not proper under Robert's rules. I don't say what Mr. Fuller believes. I don't say what Ms. Shoemaker. I don't say what
did you
believe.
Or did you not say you would pay $100,000 to Edison to come in and keep the profits plus the extra?
Okay, just keep it to
okay.
The information in front of us.
That's where I am. If Mr. Cox and Mr. Spence will let me finish talking about it. The $32,000 to the principal. There's been talk of a necklace that floated around for a while. I'm just clarifying this. If wondering what the audit shows. I do wonder why the community, and looking at this, and why the auditors had questions, a lack of confidence, let's say, in the enrollment procedures, that 7 out of 10 people couldn't be found and 3 could, and there was things that were said in the audit that said maybe we ought to find something with more reliability in enrolling students at San Jose Edison. That comes from straight from the audit report.
Are you asking a question?
Yes. Do you know why people are continually looking at this enrollment process and why the auditors would say that we ought to find another way?
It was a finding that they had.
It's a finding that they had.
I think the point that was addressed during our conversation was the fact that there was particularly one procedure that was not followed, and that had to do with having an open meeting where we invited parents to come. The auditors did call the same students that the site had called and found out the same information. So the point that was of discussion had to do with not holding a parent. And Denise, you want to correct me if I'm, there was a procedure stated in our management agreement that says that we will hold several parent meetings in terms to inform parents of the process for the recruiting process, the wait list. So that was where the major discussion took place.
Okay, and then it also recommended, how do you feel about submitting a more detailed revenue report to the district?
We had no problem with that. We've already come to an agreement as to what that would look like, and that we will be submitting one on a quarterly basis.
Okay. Well, in going through it, I also continually have brought up the enrollment process, and I really think maybe it may be a good time to switch it over here, and you can monitor us in this. That way, the community will have, and auditors will have, a little bit more confidence in your enrollment process, because it says in here we should be finding a different way to do it. I also am glad to hear about the sharing revenue reports. I think that's important. It's important for the community to know what's going on. You may want to walk around the neighborhood where you are and knock on some doors and see how welcome Edison is in the neighborhood. But in addition, I think if you're going to pay bonuses, everything here is public record, and you may want to post on your website where the bonuses are going and what they are. Same as the right here that everybody can see. Because eventually, bottom line is you're dealing with public monies, and public wants to know where the public monies are going. So I guess that answers my question.
Mr. Cox?
Thank you. For the future, Mr. Fuller, I would appreciate it very much so that if you are going to apply comments about me or that I attribute comments to me, please be sure that, in fact, that I have said them. And if you're going to make comments, please make them strictly. It is no more proper for you to specify
point of order.
Exactly.
That conversation we're you're debating. Having with Mr. Fuller can be during further board member discussion.
It is, I think, quite inappropriate for board members to read the report as presented to be anything more or less than what it is. To imply that there are defalcations, inappropriate actions, actions that can't be supported, actions about the feelings of a neighborhood, of their school in their backyard, is completely irrelevant to this report. There are areas that Edison needs to improve. There are areas in all of our schools that need to improve. And I think that with
Dr. White.
Dr. White, appreciate you being here and being an influence in the community and with Edison. I look to you in helping direct and guide in these particular areas. And this is not a findings to be punitive in any way. It's to make sure that they're, in fact, meeting those requirements, and it's supposed to be helpful. I mean, you're right, Mr. Fuller. I am a CPA. I do know what these people went through. I do know what the limitations they have in the samples that they select and the procedures that they must follow. This is not a report to be able to find and make an assurance as to the 100% reliance or adherence to particular policies and procedures. They're human, too. They can make mistakes. The fact that they called 7 out of 10 and found out that either the phone numbers were disconnected or they left messages that never got returned, we can't put anything more than that to it. We can't then assume, and we don't have the right to take and say, well, that's because there's been some inappropriate action taken by Edison to cherry-pick students to make sure that they're the highest performing school in the district. It's just wrong. Anyway. Thanks for the report. Thank the auditors for the report. Ruben, thank you for your department's work and working with Edison and making sure that they do adhere to the management agreement.
Ms. Shoemaker.
I differ a little bit when it comes to the admission and the them calling 7 out of 10 parents and not being able to get hold of people, the wrong number disconnected. Our contract specifically says that written notice is to be given to people on the waiting list. The audit report specifically says that it's in the contract, that that's not being followed, and they recommend to create the paper trail that would end any question on whether or not the procedures are being followed to do that. I don't know what to say, what the response will be to that. I mean, the contract is black and white. This is what you are supposed to do, and it wasn't done by Edison. The contract was negotiated over 18 months. This was an issue that came up many, many, many times, and this was the agreement that was made between this district's Board of Education and Edison Learning. Let's see. The annual audit, I'm a little bit concerned because some of the findings say they didn't get information that detailed information that would be necessary to do this full audit. And I will commend Dr. White because I understand that you have been extremely helpful in saying, you know, we are going to follow all of the procedures outlined. You know, from now on, this is what we're going to do. But I would take this opportunity to strongly say that it needs to be followed. Once again, this was a contract that had 18 months of negotiation. It's on page 34 of your contract that Edison shall annually by September 30th provide district with an independent audit by mutually agreed upon licensed CPA of all charter school revenues and expenditures, including detail of all revenue from or payments to and on behalf of related organizations, including but not limited to Edison Schools, Inc. and the San Jose Edison PTA. And we didn't have that by September, well, with your audit this year. And so I am very glad to hear that in the future you will be going forward and doing that. And I have, from my understanding of some of the discussions, there may have been a break between the school and the company. And so we'll see what happens in the future. Another thing that I am now hearing is that in the K-3, there has been a change to the class size, and our contract on page 38 states that San Jose Edison will participate in the state class size reduction program.
Ms. Shoemaker, that will be on the agenda next month.
I understand. And so I look forward to hearing, you know, if in fact this is true or if you are at class size reduction per your contract. I believe if we had known about this before, it would have been part of the audit. I think are really my main issues is that from where I'm sitting with these findings, is it's not a matter of, oh, we just forgot to give you a paper. We weren't getting detailed reports. The contract says notify in writing. It just wasn't being done. And so I know you're going to do your responses in writing, and so I hope that you'll be able to address some of that in your responses. But for myself as a board member, that's my areas of concern. Another issue that I would like to bring to your attention is I have been walking the neighborhood, and one of the things in this audit, it talks about child care and that how after 15 minutes the children are swept into daycare, and in going door to door in the neighborhood around the school site, that was my number one complaint from parents, is that the students are not being swept into daycare. You have children that look as young as kindergarten wandering the streets with maybe an older sibling because their parents have not come on time. That's a safety concern for us, for the students, the neighbors. You know, the older students are trampling plants, breaking sprinklers. You know, it's a very busy intersection that kids are standing on the corners for. And we've been told that they're swept in, but that is not what the community is saying. And, you know, as a board member, you get used to hearing one person say something. But I went door to door to door, and that was a complaint at every single house. And so since you're here, I would just like to take that opportunity to let you know that that is a major concern. And also, the community seems to be a bit concerned about the parking situation and not being able to get out of their driveways when school's going in and out. And they have tried to express those concerns to the school site directly and have not felt that their concerns are being addressed. And so that is really all of the questions I have on the audit. I look forward to going forward with the company, with you in your new position.
I look forward to seeing your response to the finding that there wasn't a paper trail to the students' enrollment portion of it, because if it's true or not true, the perception of the community is that there's cherry picking. So just to alleviate that concern, that paper trail, and I know you're going to address it if you want, if you have a finding. I know we're going to see it in writing, but if there's something you want to say now to that.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think there's a misconception here that there was a paper trail. You know, we brought in evidence, you know, at the time that mailings had gone out to the parents, you know. The sequence might have been a little bit off, you know, from the time, but there was a paper trail, and we did make effort to reach out to the parents, you know, through mail. So I just wanted to clarify that. But
let me clarify, though, for Dr. White, what we're talking about in terms of a paper trail. There was a lot of discussion when this contract came through about parents who you can't reach having a letter go to their home saying, your name has come up on our lottery, we want to hear from you within 7 days. And that's the follow-up to not being able to contact the parent by phone. Every district that has a charter school and a lottery has a follow-up when they can't reach the person by phone. They obviously have an application with an address. And what we're looking for is to make sure that we as a district and as a school have done everything to reach that parent. And if that parent doesn't respond, then we go to the next one. So it's not just saying we're going to have a lottery, this is what the school's about, but your name has been selected and we can't reach you by phone. And there was a lot of discussion about turnaround time, and I think we settled on 7 days for parent to respond.
And it's not just for the lottery, it's for the waiting list. And the waiting list was the biggest issue. Was making sure that the list was followed step by step.
But I know I saw evidence of some mailing, so you want
what
to
we actually
that.
Did is that we followed the contract with a slight modification in that we sent the letters out first. We sent out 25 because we know the board was very interested in transparency, and that was very mm-hmm. obvious during our negotiations. So for 25 children at every single grade level, first grade through eighth grade, we sent out a letter stating that their child was 1 through 25, and please get back to us. When we didn't hear back from them, we called every single name or number, work number, cell number, every number on that to make sure we had exhausted all possibilities. And then if then we didn't hear back, we then crossed them off the waiting list. So, I mean, so we actually, and what was in...
Was you're number one on the list. If the spot opens, then you get notified.
Right.
It wasn't your number 24 of mm-hmm. 25. It was as your spot became available, mm-hmm. you got notified.
Right.
Well, and we still call them, and we still go through. So this way we were able to, and we gave them several days to go ahead and get back to us.
Well, what we need and what was in the contract, at least it is my understanding, is after the phone call occurs and you can't get a hold of them, a letter goes out saying, "Dear Mrs. Smith, little Joey's number one on the list. If we don't hear from you in 7 days, we know you're not interested." So then that means we've given them every opportunity, and they know they're number one on the list. And if they don't, then they're saying, "No, I'm really happy where I am right now. We don't need your services anymore." But that would make it very clear. And the perception is, and I'm not saying it's true, but I'm just telling you the perception of many in the community is that you're cherry picking. And this one little bit of information would alleviate that. We could tell people this is what they do, and you can't force people to come to your school. But that you're giving them every opportunity, and that I could really see that dispelling that, if you know what I believe you think believe is a misnomer, that'll go away if we can just follow this and we can let the community know that's happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just one other quick point. We tried to figure out when we were speaking with Ruben, because we brought the paper trail, the information, and we were wondering why the auditors hadn't found this, because Mrs. Shule had told them that we had these letters and these paper trails. And what had occurred, both of those representatives there that day had actually sent in helpers to help, because we didn't understand why that had not appeared in the audit. And when Mrs. Shule, I went back and asked her, "Barbie, did you let them know that we had all these letters we had saved, that they had come back and we had called them all?" She goes, "I told the gentleman." I go, "They had no recollection of it." And then Shirley was able to determine that it was a gentleman, and I guess he did not pass it on. But we did do that, and we certainly...
You'll be able to respond to that. Mm-hmm. And that's always no nice problem. About the audit report. You can put it in writing. And the other question I had is just about the bonuses. And I wasn't going to have any questions about them until I heard how they were dispensed. When I saw this, I just asked Mrs. Castillo, how is it determined who gets what? And what I understood her to say, it was at the principal's discretion, including she gets an allotment of money, and the allotment for under the criteria that she met was $142,700. And then the principal determines how that money is distributed. But when you got up here, Ms. White, I didn't hear you say that. It sounded like there was this a lot of money, but then teachers got so much money, instructional aides got so much. There was a criteria. They can make in between a certain amount. And so I'm not sure exactly how that works.
I didn't mean to confuse you, but... The site bonuses are determined by the site leadership.
Okay.
Okay. The site leadership determines the criteria for the amount of the bonus.
Okay.
The principal's bonus is determined by headquarters based on 5 points of accountability, with student achievement being the number one accountability, which is very heavily weighted. And, I mean, if you'd like for me at some time to give you our whole calculation for it and share that, that's fine. But the site bonuses are determined by the site leadership.
So the site leadership had all but...
Yes.
The site leadership had all but $32,000 to distribute because you had already taken that $32,000 out of this allotment and decided where it was going to go. The rest of the money was left up to the site leadership or the principal to distribute.
Yeah, the $32,000 for the principal was awarded by Edison.
Okay. That's I misunderstood on, okay, that
I'm
in
sorry,
the beginning.
Based on
performance.
The criteria.
Right.
Performance. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Is there any other questions?
Just one more comment.
Mr. Spence had his hand up first.
Yeah, I just want to, I don't know what the right word is, express a little bit. Some of the concerns that have been raised here tonight, I think, are things that are out of the control of Edison, like the site plan, the site structure, the way, you know, it's organized and things like that that were approved by the board a long time ago, you know, that lead to some of those problems that were talked about, like traffic and things like that. And, you know, I think sometimes, I know my dad was a teacher, and he would get frustrated calling students. You know, they had a phone number there, and he wanted to talk to their parents, and then he'd call them. It was right off the rolls back then. I don't know how they do it now, Dwight. But, you know, call them, disconnected. You know, drove them up the wall. You know, and that happens a lot in our society where people just aren't available or their numbers change or get disconnected. And obviously, you know, there's a written method that's supposed to be used. But I think, you know, when you look at the waiting list issue, you know, the seven people they said they couldn't reach, the auditors weren't able to reach, and the three they were able to reach that turned it down were three that said they turned it down. So that was heartening to see that that was 10 for 10, even though the proper order wasn't used. It was 10 for 10 as far as the stories all matched what the auditors found and what Edison had reported. You know, so I think we have to keep some of those things in mind when we talk about it. I know some people have expressed that Edison and West Covina Unified are a partnership. And sometimes, in my view, I hear more punitive in nature than I do partnership. And so I think we just have to realize that if we mailed stuff, and we do this all the time in our school district, a lot of stuff comes back not deliverable.
And that would answer it right there.
And, I mean, a lot of stuff comes back. Oh, I agree. And, you know, there's a lot of phone numbers that are disconnected that we get at the beginning of the year that when you try them by June, they're disconnected or not around or who knows what's going on. And, you know, so I was heartened that it was 10 for 10 when the audit of the waiting list took place, and that's what it showed. But there's some issues there that, you know, I can tell you, you know, rather than the community around there, I know people that hate the parking situation more at Edison than the people around there are actually the parents that drive their kids there, you know, because it's not hard to get trapped in there for a long period of time with the different traffic circles and patterns that have been developed based on the plant, how the plant was put together. So there's a lot of things that, you know, we could probably work together on that would solve some of those problems. You know, I know I got a call from a parent the other day that was complaining, not an Edison parent, complaining about kids in their neighborhood and why they don't go to child care at another school site. And I said, well, they probably live on your street. That's why they keep walking down your street every day. You know, so, I mean, so we have those problems, you know, some of our other sites, too, and we have to be cognizant and try to make sure that we work on those problems at all our school sites. I know Holland Crest, when we first opened Holland Crest, a lot of the people across the street were really mad because suddenly they had all these eighth graders going through their, you know, not treating their property the way they thought it should, and I understand that, and it's wrong. And we had to send Mr. Cox, the good one, not the one here, Lewis Cox out, you know, to supervise that.
Personal preference?
We send security out. We send them to shoo them on, because there was that problem at Holland Crest. So I know there's those kinds of difficulties, and I'd like to see us work on them together as the partnership that some say we are.
Since the climate of the neighborhood has been brought up, and it's been brought up with Mr. Spence went beyond what was found in the audit report, and Ms. Shoemaker had brought up some things about the child care. It is definitely an issue.
Yeah.
That if it's very difficult to have a kindergartner with maybe their third grade sibling standing on your berm, and you're keep looking out your window to find out if they've been picked up. It's very difficult, and we really can't compare it to the other schools in our district because they live so far away. And it's not like they're going to be walking right home and or, you know, that they'll be safe. You don't know how far they have to go home to be safe. And it's a concern, and it's a concern for everybody in that neighborhood. People in that neighborhood love children, and they would just want to make sure all the children are safe. So if you have the policy and it's in the contract that they're going to be swept up, and I know it's so expensive for some parents, and I don't know if you have a sliding scale, that's up to you, but just to keep them safe because they're very far from home. Then they were talking about the parking issues. Once again, there's many more cars that come down that street than than a neighborhood school because these children are driven in. Mm-hmm. And I routinely pick up my daughter from Vine, my niece, excuse me, she feels like my daughter sometimes, and I take her to school. It's very different than at Willowood. And it's very controlled, and it's gotten much better. I have to give them some, you know, use some credit. But there's a big difference. And there's even the high school. It's easier to get in and out of the high school than it is at San Jose Edison. But it's gotten better. This is outside of the scope, but sometimes it's common courtesy. And I know that Denise has shown me the letters that she sent out. But maybe just a nice reminder that please don't park in front of people's driveways, even if you're still sitting in the car and it doesn't look like anybody's getting out. Because they're inside the house and they're seeing someone parked in front of their driveway. And it's difficult because you think, wow, they don't respect me. And everybody wants to be respected. And like I said, it's really improved. And just little things, just respect the neighborhood because they're going to be proud. I mean, that's a school over 900. You know, the banner's up there, and it brings up our property values. I live right in that neighborhood. It's a good thing to have you there. We just need to respect if we feel respected, and we don't want to have to worry about the little ones. That's real hard. Are there any other questions? Mr. Fuller? No.
I appreciate Dr. White taking the time to come in. I'm not sure you're coming from Tracy or where, but someplace far away. I know you're back there.
No, I actually live in Pasadena.
Oh, man, that's no fun.
She has two, yeah.
But at any rate, we've made the same comments before. 7:30 in the morning, and one daughter's sick and needs to go to grandma, and that means the other daughter's going to be late to school, and you're going to be late to work. You can have a score of 975, and it will make no difference to that neighbor. They want to get out of the driveway, and they want to be able to move. And I like what Mr. Sprint said. Holland Crest found a solution.
I would just like to clarify that in partnership with Edison, I've had calls from the neighbors. Mr. Frutas and I have both gotten in our cars and talked to young people who are down the street. And basically, I asked Dr. Patton if this was true, and she confirmed that there's a period of time that they have until they get picked up. If they don't, their parents either have to pay the daycare or they have to get off campus. And when the parents don't make it during that time, they go to the neighborhood to wait. And so we've been asking for a place at the school, you know, that allows these students, instead of going out and waiting in the streets, to wait on the school campus. And so far, Dr. Patton has not agreed to that because of the daycare being the only source of supervision, I think. Is that right? Yeah, but the sweeps are get away, not come back to the school. Okay, but here's the question that I have. Can we have those students wait on your campus until their parents come? And that's the question that is what the kids are saying. We are shushed away from the school if our parents can't pay the daycare. We can't stay there after 20 minutes after school. We're told to go. And so what happens is, and Mr. Frutas and I talked to those kids. Did we not, Mr. Frutos? We talked to those kids, and they said we're not allowed to wait. So it's just something we have to work out because it does have its consequences, and we'll work together on that.
The other comment is just the enrollment process, whether it be right. Is perception is what, 90%? And if there could be a way that, and I've suggested it, we take it over here and you monitor us. So the perception is there. They have confidence. People like the scores that you have. But this enrollment thing is nothing new. There's even been talk we couldn't get an application. We were in there with a wheelchair, and they said we weren't there. And you'd be surprised what comes across my ears that over time just goes. If there's a process that you could bring it about that inspire confidence in that, and with a little tweaking like the audit report says, I think you may be moving closer to that gem that you're looking at.
Any more questions, comments? That brings us to the end of our board meeting. The further board discussion?
Yes. I just want to acknowledge CSBA. I complained about the dues increase, and they actually reduced it 10%. I want to congratulate them on that in the hard times we're going through. And they actually put out monitored things that we can attend for free. So I want to commend them for that.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller. If you're interested in the dates to remember, there's a list on the in the agenda. Is there there being no further board board business, we adjourn our meeting at 8:34.